But I've got two more parts that I want to do on contentment, because I've found that sometimes as a Christian in our Christian life, even Christianity can be frustrating. It can be difficult, can be challenging, and you wonder, where's the contentment? Where's the peace? Where's the satisfaction in this? And we've been talking about some keys to contentment, that godliness with contentment is great gain. God really wants us to be content. He wants us to be happy. He wants us to be satisfied. And the next step in the process today, I've asked Pastor Carl and Brenda, y'all can come up to take us to the next part of the lesson, and it's going to be on contentment in the home. And they've been in charge of pastoral care for a while. They've been doing our pre-marriage counseling, our marriage counseling. They're very skilled in this. They have a great marriage. They've raised four great kids. All the four Crames kids ought to yell amen to that. So they've got experience. They know what they're doing. They're going to share about contentment in the home. It has a lot to do with marriage. And if you're married, it's going to help a lot. If you think you ever may be married, this is the good time to learn this stuff now, ahead of time. If you were married, you might look back and say, okay, I think that's where, you know, we missed it. Or if you know anybody that is married, it might help you help them, deal with them. But even in just life, and like dealing with your boss or neighbors, or these principles, the communication principle, they work in every kind of relationship. So you apply it to your situation, to your life. But, you know, marriage is a challenge. We see in the church that we have the same divorce rate as the world. So we're not, you know, learning some things. So we want to look at this. So thank you so much. These guys are awesome. Give them a big hand, Pastor Carl and Brenda, as they share.
Good morning. Well, welcome to Contentment in the Home, or for you Twitter heads, #HappyHome. And for those of you who don't know what that is, I'm sorry. Okay. All right. Well, I guess I should give you a little bit of background on Carl and I. Well, that's Carl, and I'm Brenda, in case you were confused about who was who. this September, Carl and I will be married 34 years. Now, is there anybody in here that's been married longer than 34 years? Got Gomer and Jan, Stephen married Lou. Now, see, Pastor Bill, if we crash and burn today, that's your backup. They can come up here and teach everybody. Well, as Pastor Bill said, we have four sons, two gorgeous daughter-in-laws, two more on the way, we're believing for, and we have the two most adorable grandchildren in the world. Now, your two grandchildren may be just as adorable, but they can't possibly be more adorable than our two. So they're all here today, except Kevin. He's late. Try not to laugh at him when he comes in late here. He's our college student. But can I brag a little bit? Robert, would you stand up? This is our oldest. Wesley's in the back. Wave, Wesley. He's number two, and Michael's in the back also with the camera. He's three, and Kevin will come in here in a little bit. So he's number four. He'll sit right there, so try not to laugh at him. Okay. Well, let's see. It's such a great thing to be married for that amount of time to this man. I'm just so blessed that God gave him to me. I'm sorry. It's a good thing. We've been through a lot together, Jordan. It's funny. And so I just want to turn it over to him now.
Well, thank you, Brenda. It's been a pleasure being married to her, too. Well, next to our personal relationship with Jesus, marriage and the family are the most important institutions that God has created. And you might have noticed there's been an all-out attack, especially in our country, on marriage and the family. And one of the reasons is because the devil understands, or he knows Scripture. He does know Scripture, sometimes better than Christians know Scripture. And Psalm 11:3 says, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? And the answer really is nothing. And so if families and marriages are ending in divorce and destruction and dysfunction, then it's not a very good testimony to Christ in us being expressed through the family, is it? So we need to do a better job, and we hope to give you a few pointers today to help you through that, because as Pastor Bill mentioned, the divorce rate is 50%, and unfortunately it's 50% among Christians too. And that really needs to change, don't you think?
Right. Amen.
Yeah.
Well, as Pastor Bill said, there's a series on contentment, and I really encourage you to go online and listen to that. Last week, or week before last, was awesome, and I know the next 2 weeks are going to be great. So just really take time and focus on that. And today we're going to focus on the home. And so first we're going to just dispel some of the misconceptions that we have about marriage and what makes a contented, happy marriage.
Yes, and in my father's generation, Brenda's father's, and some of yours, the role of the wife was perceived mainly that she did household chores, she took care of the children, she wasn't really to question her husband's decisions on anything for the most part, and in most cases, she wasn't expected to earn any money or work outside of the home, and much less offer an opinion. She wasn't supposed to be creative or especially offer an opinion about how her husband should accomplish his duties. At the same time, many men had a distorted view of what it meant to be the head of the home or what a leader's supposed to be and what they're supposed to do. So now we have a funny little clip we would like to show you that expresses that a little bit more.
Hey, Lafayette. Yet.
Well, I'm right here.
Listen, wheels approaching.
Oh, Napoleon, we done bet 6 tires today. Chase 4 motor cars and a bicycle and a scooter.
Hush your mouth. It's a motorcycle. 2-cylinder, chain drive, 1 squeaky wheel on the front, it sounds like. Now you go for the tires, and I'll go right for the seat of the problem.
How come you always grab a tender part for yourself?
'Cause I outrank you, that's why. Now stop beating your gums and sound the attack. Now that's mess call.
Made a mess of it, huh?
You can be replaced, you know.
Okay, let's charge.
Wait a minute, I'm the leader. I'm the one that says when we go, here we go. Charge!
Believe it or not, this movie helped us get discernment in our marriage.
Well, that's been something we crack jokes on over the years, I'm the leader part especially. And I'll tell you, I really didn't know how to be a proper husband when we first got married. I didn't understand. I was just striving to be the head of the home and a leader. And a story that relates to this is that one of the things that we would do would be to pack our cars for long trips. And right after we were married, Brenda and I went on a missionary trip to all the way from Auburn, Alabama to Mexico City on a missions trip. And so I decided I was going to pack the car. So it was packed all right. It was packed to the hilt. But Brenda offered to do it for me. And as I learned later on in life, she knew how to do it a lot better than I did. And she can tell you what happened.
Well, it was a 1,000-mile journey. And we had talked to the senior pastor that was down there. We'd gotten rid of all our furniture and everything. He said, but bring all your clothes. Bring as much food as you can, especially boxes of cereal, because you couldn't get it down there at the time. And so, and he also wanted, I think it was a electric blender, yes, which we would have to pay taxes on when we crossed the border. And how many of you have ever gone across the border of Mexico before? Not very many. It's quite an experience. He also encouraged us to bring lots of dollar bills, American money, because you would have to bribe your way through customs, and there would be 3 stops that we'd have to go through. So Carl had everything packed. You could not see out the back window. He had a Nova. Everything was packed in black garbage bags because we didn't have, like, suitcases. We were newlyweds. And for me, I rode 1,000 miles with a box of Cheerios right here, and I had stuff under my feet, so I was like, I didn't even have a place to put my feet with it. So it was a big first lesson in submission to your husband. We'd only been married a couple months when we started on this adventure. So that was a wild ride. When we got to customs, they opened, you should have seen their eyes. They're like, you've been driving like this? And they didn't even search the bags. They just said, gratificación, por favor. And they didn't even go through them. They're like, just give me the money and get out of here, you know, kind of thing. So we could have had who knows what in those bags, but they didn't check us. So I guess it helped us, you know, in that way to get through. But it was hard because, see, I'm a very administrative, organized person. You cannot imagine how frustrating that was not to be able to look out the window or put my feet on the floor or anything. So it was a good test, good first test.
And you would think I would learn on that one, but no, it took me several more times before I finally stopped packing the car and let her do it. Because if you all know Brenda, she's the most administrative person I've ever met in my life. So she knows how to do stuff.
So, well, you know, it's out of the same type of situation that the women's rights movement came out, and it's mostly out of bitterness and unforgiveness towards men. And so it didn't yield life, and it actually was a big ripoff for women in the long run because they lost the things that God had placed in them that are to complement men. Men and women complement each other, and one isn't better than the other. It's just that God has made us each for a purpose and to have a healthy and, you know, happy home. They have to, you know, you have to work together. I think of it like in math, you know, you have complementary and supplementary angles, and sometimes his gifts are called upon more, and sometimes mine are called upon more. And, you know, it's a flexible thing, you know, you roll with the punches, you know, so to speak, of what comes your way. So, you know, today women are taught to hate the word submit. They hate that word. And I had 3 years of Latin in high school, so I was going to help you today to understand what the word submission means. So sub is, we have a slide coming up here. Sub means you get under the mission. I'm probably jumping ahead a little bit.
Now let's go to the scripture first, because we'll get to the definition,
Rob,
of submission. But I want to read a foundational scripture on marriage at Ephesians 5.
Mm-hmm. This is a scripture that men love to quote.
All right. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their husbands in everything. But the men often neglect the remaining verses on this subject. They do.
Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Have you ever wondered why we get married in white dresses? It's from the scripture. But that she should be holy and without blemish.
So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bone. For this reason, this is my favorite part, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself.
And let the wife see that she respects her husband. There's a great series, it's called Love and Respect. And you know, you always need to be working on your marriage, especially when the kids are little and it's the hardest. Because there's a saying that I heard when I was first married, and it said, yes, I love my children, dear, but they'll grow up and leave me here. What do you have when your children are gone? So you need to be conscious and work on that when it's the most difficult. Okay, well, now we'll go to that slide I was trying to push Rob to a minute ago. We've been taught that submission is a bad word. But sub is a preposition. It means under. And the base word, mission, means person sent. Any number of persons appointed by authority to perform any service, particularly the person sent to propagate faith or evangelize the unsaved. That's what our marriages are supposed to do. God created marriage, and it's to glorify Him. It represents His relationship with the church. And when we read Ephesians 5:21, knowing this, to where it means get under the mission. So we read it differently. We say, submit to, get under the mission of one another out of reverence for Christ. Now see, when you look at it that way, it's a great word. Because we help each other fulfill our mission in life. And, you know, it's like, I'm glad Jesus is head of the church. I don't want to be head of the church. Anybody in here want to be head of the church? No, nobody. Me either. I'm glad that Carl's head of the family. I'm glad the buck stops with him. And I do everything that I can to help him in what he has to do.
Yeah. But again, I want her prayerful input in the decisions that affect our lives. Because we are a team. You as husbands and wives, you're a team. You roommates, you're a team. You know, we support each other's mission in life. We submit one to another. Our missions go together. They complement each other. And it's not demeaning. It's not embarrassing or demeaning in any way for me to admit that Brenda does some tasks, actually a lot more than me, let's get real. She can do a lot more practical tasks a lot better than me. And so I finally learned that. It's not demeaning for me to say it's okay for her to pack the car because she can do a lot better than I can. She can do a lot of things. She was just raised with certain things I didn't get raised in, and skill-wise, and she can do it.
Well, he does a lot of things, too. I wouldn't want to do sales. I really appreciate him. And boy, if there's somebody on the phone that needs to be dealt with, I want my husband to do it. He'll take care of him and get him in line. He's great at that in a godly way. Well, you know, communication... communication is so important. It's important in creating a healthy marriage. You know, if you have good communication, it's going to strengthen your marriage. If you have bad communication, it can destroy your marriage. So we want to check. I want you to check out this video that we have. It's about bad communication skills. It's your mic.
Don't you ever talk that way to me.
Never! Never! What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach. So you get what we had here last week, which is the way he wants it. Well, he gets it. I don't like it any more than you, man.
We selected that video to make you feel better about the way you communicate right now. So, on the seat, you should have been given a handout. It's two-sided. And on each side of the sheet is an exercise that we use in our marriage counseling. And we're excited to say that Mike and Elaine are going to be soon certified in Prepare and Rich. So they'll be helping us carry the load with that for young couples. We're excited. Give them a hand. You don't know how important that is. That's great. Now, these exercises are designed to help you build healthy communication skills in your marriage. So let's look at the side that says wish list. Now, I've asked Jordan and Zach to come up here. They're going to be our guinea pigs today. We have not rehearsed this, and of course, they're not married. But they're roommates, and so they need good communication skills as well. So we thought it'd be better to embarrass them rather than pull a couple out of the audience. Now, I'm going to read the sheet to you. In this exercise, you'll be creating each... individually make a wish list of things you would like more or less of in your relationship. And then we're going to take turns sharing your wish list with each other. Now, we're going to be using skills of assertiveness, and that is the ability to express your feelings and ask for what you want in your relationship. You'd be surprised how many people are weak in this area. This is a growth area for a lot of people. They don't know how to lovingly express what their needs are. And then we have active listening. This is the ability to let your partner know you understand them by restating their message. So you're not commenting, you're just saying, if I hear what you're saying that you want this, and you repeat it. So in sharing your wish list with your partner, you'll be demonstrating your assertiveness skills and giving feedback to your partner about their wish list. You will be demonstrating your active listening skills. So we're going to give them a minute to write down three things. And you guys do it too. There should be a pen in the seat in front of you. Write down a couple things you'd like to talk to your roommate or your spouse or your fiance, wherever you are in life. Let me give you the instructions here. We'll probably just do two, Jordan, so you're good.
Okay.
All right, discussion. You're going to take turns sharing your wish list with each other, and then whoever is speaking, why am I ringing? Am I in front of something? Okay. Oh, I see. I'll stand back. Okay, so when it's your turn to speak, you're going to speak in words like I statements. I wish you would do this, and you describe how that would make you feel if your wish came true. It's very touchy-feely today. So, and then whoever is listening, it's your job to repeat or summarize what you heard the other one say, and then you're going to describe the wish and how it makes him feel if the wish came true. Okay, do you understand? Yeah, Zach's been through this. He and Christy have completed our course. You may have saw their picture on Facebook. They're getting married in
27 days.
Okay, so since you've done this before, Zach, I'm going to let you go, and you guys can swap the mic back and forth.
Right. Jordan.
Yes.
You have to look at each other in the eye.
Jordan, I wish that you would give me more hugs because it would make me feel more valued.
So am I supposed to tell you how that makes me feel?
You look at him, tell him what his wish is and how that would make him feel.
You want to receive more hugs from me. You know, that would make you feel appreciated? Is that okay? Yeah. Yeah, that would make you feel more appreciated. Am I supposed to agree?
No.
Oh, okay.
Now, in this exercise, part of the self-control is you don't express your own opinion. You're simply listening and repeating what the other person said. It's about listening skills, okay? All right, now, Jordan, it's your turn to give your wish.
Zach, I would like you to cook more for me because that would make my day more delicious.
Jordan, I hear that you would like me to cook for you more because it would make your stomach feel more deliciously full. Yeah. Jordan, I wish that you would spend less time with your girlfriend and more time with me because it would make me feel more important in our relationship.
Zach, I understand that you would like me to spend less time with my girlfriend and more time with you because it would make you feel more appreciated. Okay. Well, Zach, I wish you would go swimmies with me more because that's a fun time in the pool and it's a fun thing to do. Repeat that.
Exactly.
Jordan, I hear that you would like me to go swimmies with you more often because it would make you feel like we're having more fun together, which is an important part in our relationship.
Very good. All right, you're dismissed. You are dismissed. Thank you. Yeah. So, how do you feel each of them did in being assertive and sharing their wish? They did pretty good, didn't they? Yeah, it's okay to applaud. Go ahead. They embarrassed themselves. Okay. Now, how did you feel they did with their listening skills? Were they pretty good? Yep, they did a great job. Okay,
we have one more exercise. If you'll flip your flyer over, you'll see it on the back. And this is an exercise in establishing good daily habits of communication. So if you'll follow along with me, we'll read it together. Marriage is a team sport. You either win together or you lose together. So daily dialogue is an intentional effort to talk about your relationship rather than discussing your activities that day. The focus of this dialogue should be on your feelings about each other and your lives together. So set aside 5 minutes per day to discuss the following. 1, what did you most enjoy about your relationship today? 2, what was dissatisfying about your relationship today? And 3, how can you be helpful to each other? So daily compliments will help you focus on the positive things you like about each other. Every day, give your partner at least 1 genuine compliment. These can be general, you're fun to be with, for example, or specific, I appreciate that you were on time for the concert. Now, there's a list of 10 things. I'll read through these quickly, but you can go home and look at them. Communication skills to increase intimacy. 1, give full attention to your partner when they're talking. Turn off the phone, shut off the television, and make eye contact like Jordan and Zach were doing. 2, focus on the good qualities in each other and often praise each other. We need praise. We do need praise. 3, be assertive. Share your thoughts, feelings, and needs. A good way to be assertive without being critical is to use the I word rather than you statements. For example, I worry when you don't let me know you're going to be late, rather than you are always late. 4, avoid criticism. 5, if you must criticize, balance it with at least 1 positive comment. For example, I appreciate how you took the trash out each week. In the future, could you remember to also wheel the trash can back from the end of the driveway? 6, listen to understand, not to judge. 7, use active listening, like we just did just a minute ago. Summarize your partner's comments before sharing your own reactions or feelings. 8, avoid blaming each other and work together for a solution. And the 10 steps approach is further on in the study. You could find that in the study that we have, or the whole course that we have for the married couples. 10 is seek counseling. There are some people that have some deeper things going on in their lives, and they will need some additional counseling, and that would be wise before it gets more serious.
All right. As Dr. Phil says, ask yourself, what kind of friend am I being for my mate? Because this is the witness that we give the world. And they look at our relationship and see, you know, do they hate each other? You know, I don't want to be a Christian. But do they see us that we love each other and we like being around each other and doing things together, you know. And we'll try not to embarrass our children. So, you know, focus on that because, you know, somebody is always watching. Even when you're at home, just the two of you, somebody's watching. And you need to be the same couple in front of your children that you are when you're at church. They need to see that consistency in your life. So, amen. Let's yes. see here. According to the Mayo Clinic.
Yes, according to the Mayo Clinic, it appears that the bulk of what determines happiness or contentment is due to personality and, more importantly, thoughts and behaviors that can be changed. Here at Victory, we have some things in place to help you grow as a Christian and fulfill the mission that God has for you. And Philemon 1:6, this is one of my favorite scriptures of all times. The Lord gave me this scripture when we were going through a rough financial time many, many years ago. And it has, and I always remember, it has the word communication. And at least the King James Version says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual or more effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. So it's easy for us to see the things in people that need to change, the things in your spouse or your roommate that needs to be changed. It takes effort to look at the good things. But your communication, if you look at the scripture, it's going to increase your relationship, your contentment's going to increase if you'll be positive. So I encourage you to encourage your spouse, praise your spouse, do things for them, do things together with them, date your spouse, bring them gifts. If you're married, tell your wife how beautiful she is. You can never tell her enough how beautiful she is. She loves to hear that. She does. So that takes an effort to do it. The first time you do it, it feels uncomfortable, but it takes an effort to do it.
Life is about people, and it's about communicating effectively, and it's our primary mission. You know, this scripture, it also talks about your witness as a Christian. You know, you communicate everything in your life, whether you're married or not, you're communicating something to people when you're out there dealing with them, and communication is so important to that. Now, as Pastor Bill mentioned some of these when we were starting, we want to focus on a couple things that the Mayo Clinic also said that you can do. The first of these is to devote time to family and friends. Now, in our course, we teach our couples that you need to date your mate. Carl's mentioned that. And what that means is you just set aside time. You make an appointment if you need to do something together. It doesn't have to cost a lot of money. In fact, there's even an exercise that has you list your favorite dates and you share them with each other. I enjoyed this the most when we did this. And it's usually something simple, like when we went to the park and we just sat and talked. Or we, you know, simple things. So do that. Make an appointment. If you're super busy, you know, you just have to remind yourself, this is an appointment. Nothing's going to get in the way of it. We're going to write it down and we're going to go do it. And then it also says for your friends, and that's what small groups is so awesome to help you with and establish good, healthy relationships. And like Pastor Bill said, June 1st, we're going to start our next group next week in the seat backs. I'm going to have a card so that you can start telling us your ideas of what you would like to do for a small group. So be thinking about that this week. And when you get here for Sunday service, pull that card out and write them down and put them in the offering plate for us, and we'll look over those and contact you and talk with you.
And then secondly, it says appreciate what you have. And that's the five-minute challenge, which I just read. But go home and do it. Take it to your roommate or your husband and wives. Do it together. Do this throughout the week and see what happens.
Yeah, we really encourage you to do that. It takes 13 days to make a habit. So if you could just make yourself do this for 13 days where you turn everything off and you engage and you look at your spouse and you communicate with them. It becomes a habit. It becomes a way of life. It makes your marriage healthier. Okay, and number three is maintain an optimistic outlook. So here we put turn up your happiness. As we said, you're the one in charge of it. You can decide to be miserable. It's not Carl's job to make me happy. He does, but it's not his job. And it's not my job to make him happy. That's in your relationship with God. If everything is in order in your life and you're serving God for his purposes, everything's going to match up. In fact, that's how you can really tell that you're kind of off path with God, is how's your marriage going? And you say, whoop, I need to back up and I need that quiet time with God. You need that appointment with God. Just like you date your mate, you need to date God and spend time with him. So that's your warning signal in your marriage.
And then the next one is find your purpose. And to add what Brenda just said, you know, as the husband is the head of the home, you don't have to try or prove to someone that you're the head of the home. God says you're the head of the home. So you don't have to go on this striving thing to try to prove it, because then you'll start being the bossy and that kind of stuff. And the wife doesn't try to need to make the husband be something either. We need to communicate and discuss things, but you don't need to try to force it on your spouse, because it's all about attitude. If you have the wrong attitude about changing your spouse rather than changing yourself first, they'll pick it up, believe me. They'll see it right away that you're trying to manipulate them and change them. So think about blessing the other person first and then talking together about your differences as you need to. So finding your purpose, we have what we call growth track. Pastor Bill's talked about it a lot of weeks. 301 is finding it's a test that you'll take on personality and giftings, and it'll find out what it is that you're good at. What is it that you enjoy to do? That discovery class, I was trying to think of the name of it. We just did it last week. We do it once a month, the third Sunday of each month. It's a wonderful test. If you've not taken, I really encourage you to do it, because then you'll find out what you're good at. And once you start doing what you enjoy, you'll be more content.
Right. And you need to make sure that your goals in life include your spouse and your children. God's not going to give you something that's a weird tangent to where you're never around them, because he's all about family. He's all about strong relationships and healthy children. Okay, and then the last one they gave us was live in the moment. And that speaks for itself. We need to learn to enjoy the good things that come our way on a daily basis. Be thankful for what God gives you. I'm so thankful for Carl. He's such a great husband, and he's actually better at communicating and giving me compliments than I am at him. That's my weakness. I'm a doer. I like to do things for him, but he needs my words, so it stretches me. I have to make the effort to speak to him and tell him he's wonderful. That's right. But come, you're wonderful, darling. Now, coming up in the fall, when we have our next 12-week session, we're going to offer the Life Course, and that stands for Living in Freedom Every Day. And I really encourage you to make plans to go to that, because that is going to help you really find out areas of growth, you know, places that you need maybe some healing of memory of things that happened to you. And, you know, maybe that's why you're having difficulty in your marriage, is you're not healed up all the way. You're still carrying a lot of baggage around with you, and God can, it's not up to Carl to, you know, yes, he can get discernment and help me with my baggage, and we often do with each other. That's a part of being a spouse, you know, you help one another in love, but it's up to me. I have to make that choice to let things go out of my life. Yes, it happened, but it's over, and it only affects me if I let it. You know, that's the great thing about Jesus. He makes everything new. Every day is a fresh start. You messed up yesterday. It doesn't matter. Today is a fresh start. You can begin again. So we have a few minutes left here, and we just wanted to... Are we over? Mm-hmm. Oh, never mind.
Okay, well, that's about all the time we have today. Maybe we can talk about some more things another time.
We were going to let you ask questions.
Marriage is a lifelong experience. It takes a little while to go over marriage, but we hope we gave you some fun pointers of how to have more contentment in your home today. Thank you for listening.
Awesome job. You guys just really did exactly what I was hoping we could accomplish today. I mean, we could have had a philosophical, exegetical discussion on whether or not Adam had a navel. You know, we can really get into theological deep stuff. But I think just giving you tools, practical tools, we're just giving you just, it might seem simple, but they can be life-changing. You know, marriage is it's a work in progress. It's one of the biggest challenges you'll ever face in life. Two completely separate individuals learning to love each other, work together. And that's why we have a 50% divorce rate. And I think maybe a lot of that part is with the church, that we're not giving you the tools. And these are just simple things, but man, I love that little thing, that little discussion. That, man, that can change a marriage, just really being open and honest. And you young people, think about this. I mean, one day you're going to be married. I think the greatest thing, when we were in campus ministry, and it was almost all, like 90% single people, they would always have marriage seminars, because it was preparing you for the future so that you didn't have to learn the hard way. You know, you kind of learn ahead of time. But, man, you guys did an awesome job. Give them a hand. I think they hit it out of the park with that. That was really great. Let's just have a word of prayer. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you that you love us, Lord God. You love us so much, and you love our marriage. You created that, the first institution that you placed on the planet, Lord God. You gave instructions with that. And I just pray for the marriages in this church right now. I know the enemy hates marriage. The devil is against every marriage. I break every assignment of the devil against our marriages in this church. And I pray for happiness in the home right now. And those young people that are preparing and thinking about marriage, I pray that your thoughts would come into their mind, that they would begin to have your concept, your right thinking about marriage. And for those in this room that have been through a marriage and it's failed and they had problems, Lord God, I pray for healing, Lord God, and restoration, that they wouldn't have to carry the baggage of the mistakes of the past, problems, hurts, negative words. People in here today, Lord, you're carrying just the weight of negative words spoke against them. I break that power off of them right now in Jesus' name, that everybody in this room can go forward with a happy, successful, and contented life. And we thank you that you love us so much, Lord God, and we pray that we take these tools and put them into practice. Right now, I got a very important question for everybody right now. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want you to think about this. If you died right now, would you go to heaven? If you died right now, would you go to heaven? You might be here today. You say, Pastor, I don't know. Hope so. Think so. Not really sure. Does anybody really know? Yeah. The Bible says, I've written these things to you, little children, that you may know that you have eternal life. You can know that you have eternal life. How do you get eternal life? Someone asked Jesus that question. You know what he said? He said, you have to be born again. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian. Having Christian parents doesn't make you a Christian. Owning a Bible doesn't make you a Christian. You have to be born again. It means there comes a time in your life when you surrender your life to Christ. You ask him to forgive your sins. And you know what? He does that and he comes. He lives in the inside of you. Makes you into a new person. If you've never done that, it's just that simple. You can take care of that right now. You can ask him to forgive your sins. He'll come live on the inside of you. Or you might be here today and you say, Pastor, you know what? I did that in the past, but today I'm really not where I want to be with God. And I want a fresh start. I want to start all over. Every head bowed, every eye closed. And I'm not going to ask you to come up front, but just between me and you and God. If either one of those two apply to you and you mean business with God right now, and you can trust him with your life, just slip up your hand right where you're at. You put those hands down. Thank you, Jesus. Those of you that raised your hand, I know you're serious about God. I can tell you what, God's serious about you. He seriously loves you. He seriously wants your best. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Everybody help him. Dear Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. And you died on a cross for my sins. And that God raised you from the dead. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I can't save myself. Dear Jesus, please forgive all my sins. Come live on the inside of me. Make me into a new person. Wherever you lead me, I'll follow. From this day, forevermore. Right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Give the Lord praise. People prayed that prayer. Meant business with God. Man, I believe. Praise God. Your life.